You're listening to Qalam Institute's podcast. Visit us on the web at qalaminstitute.org and join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa ba'd. Inshallah, inshallah, keep it a little more brief. I wanted to talk about an ayah from the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah. At the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, in ayah number 118, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And this is from the context where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the passage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the dialogue that will take place between Allah and Isa ibn Maryam, Isa alayhi salam, on the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question him about the indiscretion of his followers, and particularly how they basically associated even Isa alayhi salam as a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask Isa alayhi salam about this, what took place after he was gone and after he left this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Isa alayhi salam will respond back. And from amongst the things that Isa alayhi salam will state and he will say are, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ, that, O Allah, if you punish them, then they are but your slaves. They are only your slaves. If you choose to punish them, then after all they are your slaves. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, but if you choose to forgive them, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, then most definitely you are الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, the most mighty, the most powerful, and الْحَكِيمُ, the most wise. Now, once again, I wanted to talk about this ayah and try to extract a specific lesson from this ayah. What Isa alayhi salam is stating here, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us of this in the Quran, that Isa alayhi salam is saying that, O Allah, if you choose to punish them, if you want to punish people, فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُ, they are your slaves. What's very important that we can understand from this, and this is a theme or a topic and a concept that you find all over the Quran. And in different ways, in different places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elaborates upon this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to build this, solidify this, instill this within the believer, the person reading and studying and listening to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instilling this within the believer. What is this concept of ubudiyah? What is the concept and the station of slavery? That the word abd in the Arabic language, which is the root of this, it means slave. It means slave. And that is the actual translation of it. And that is what we are. We are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does it mean to be a slave? It's very important for us to understand. A slave is someone who basically is considered the property of another person. He belongs to someone. He is property. So that means just as if this phone is my personal belonging and my property, if you're standing there watching and I take this phone and I start smashing it and breaking it, you might say something to tell me to reconsider my choice. But at the end of the day, you cannot prevent me, you cannot stop me, you have no right to tell me that I cannot smash and break my phone. Why? This is my property. It belongs to me. It has nothing to do with you. Similarly, a slave belongs to someone. He is property. He is owned by someone. He's no different than a phone or a chair or a table or a pen or a book. He is the belonging, the property of someone. He doesn't have any rights. He's not entitled to anything. And the master can treat him and give to him and take from him whatever he likes and whatever he wants. That is our relationship with Allah. Yesterday I talked a little bit about the relationship or the dynamic that's there between us and the deen. Today I wanted to focus on the relationship that we have with Allah. What role do we play? What is our part in this relationship? We are the slaves. And that's what we are. We are the slaves of Allah. We're not entitled to anything from Allah. We cannot demand anything from Allah. Nothing is our right upon Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can treat us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do with us whatever He wants, however He wants. And so anything that we have, many times we start to forget these things. We start to take certain blessings, gifts that Allah has bestowed upon us, we start to think we're entitled to them. So even my ability to see the sight that Allah has given to me. Because everyone has the ability to see, we many times start to feel like we're entitled to this. This is our natural right. Allah gives us the ability to see. No. But this is a gift of Allah. If Allah chose to make me blind, then that's it. That's what Allah chose. I can't complain. I can't file a complaint. I can't demand. I can't do anything about it. Because I'm His slave. He chose it not to give it to me. And that's the end of the matter. But if He did give it to me, it's a gift and it's a blessing. And I need to be grateful and thankful. So this is the concept of slavery. And this is what we have to understand. And so even in regards to our good deeds and everything that we're doing, we're not entitled to anything. We can't demand anything. It's not our right for anything. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, He can deal with us however He wishes, however He pleases. It's just that Allah is the most merciful, and Allah is the most just, and the most forgiving, and the most loving, and the most benevolent, and the most noble. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward people, and will forgive people, and will bless people. But we have to understand from our perspective, we are the slaves of Allah. We are the property of Allah. We're the belonging of Allah. And that's when a person understands this, then he truly understands how the relationship between him and Allah is. Then he's able to live his life properly. Because he's thankful for every breath that he takes. He's thankful for every sip of water. He's grateful for everything in his life. And he lives with this sense of gratitude. And that keeps him obedient. That keeps him on this path. And that keeps him mindful of how he is living his life. Because Allah has given me all of this. He will question me on how I have used all of this. How will I answer? And look at the blessing of Allah and look at His generosity. He gave us everything, and then He says, spend your time and spend your money, like I was talking about in the middle of the Taraweeh, spending for the sake of Allah. So He tells us, turn around and spend in the path of Allah, and He'll reward us. And He'll give us paradise, and He'll give us this and this. For spending that which He gave to us in the first place. This is the generosity of Allah. We weren't born with any money. None of us here were born with money. I know we sometimes have that concept. We say he was born into money if he was born to a rich father. But in reality, nobody's born with money. Nobody's born with all these possessions and everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it. And then He says, turn around and He says, don't even give all of it, give some of it. And in exchange for that, you will get Jannah. Look how generous, look how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah says, that Isa alayhi salam says, will say, إِن تُعَذِبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُ. Oh Allah, if you punish them, then they are your slave. You have every right to punish them. No one can question you. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. But if you forgive them, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Then definitely you, and only you, are the most powerful, the most mighty, and the most wise. Now, what I wanted to talk about a little bit here for a moment was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, and if you forgive them, Isa alayhi salam is saying, if you forgive them, then you are the most mighty and the most wise. Typically, whenever the forgiveness is spoken about, like وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. Typically, whenever forgiveness is spoken about, the sifat, the attributes of Allah that are mentioned is that He's most forgiving and He's most merciful. But here Allah, it's mentioned that He's most powerful, mighty, and most wise. The benefit of that and the understanding behind that is that even if Allah chooses to forgive people, He's still completely powerful and almighty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still almighty. It's not like He doesn't have the capability to still punish them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is choosing to forgive them despite being completely capable of punishing. Having all the power and all the might. And al-hakim. And why is Allah forgiving them? He knows best. We can't sit here and say, why would Allah forgive that person? He's such a criminal that goes against justice. That doesn't make any sense. Why would you forgive such a criminal like that? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives someone, Allah is the most wise and He knows exactly why He is forgiving him. Allah knows why. The hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes beyond our comprehension and our logic and our reasoning. And so we need to put our trust in the knowledge and in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the understanding of that. And like I mentioned before, it's very important for us to understand this concept of slavery, that we are the slaves of Allah. Look at Ramadan. Ramadan is a perfect training in that. In the month of Ramadan, Allah has already made permissible for us. He's already told us, you can't eat this, you can't drink this, you can't engage in these type of physical relations. And then he said, but this is what's allowed and this is what's allowed. So from food, you can't eat pork and swine and these things, but the other things are allowed. You can't drink alcohol, but these things are allowed. You can't engage in physical relations with other people and people of the opposite gender, except for the one, someone who you're married to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already placed these restrictions on us and said, this is with specific restrictions, this is what's permissible for you. But in fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, I made it allowed for you, but even that I want you to give up. What I have made allowed for you, what I had made permissible for you, even give that up. To build that concept of slavery. Why? Why should I give it up? What's the purpose? What's the benefit for me to not drink water and eat food and not even engage in physical relations with my own spouse all the way from 5 in the morning till 8 in the evening? What's the purpose? What's the benefit? What's the wisdom? It's slavery. We might not be able to figure out what's exactly the wisdom here, or what's the logic and the reasoning. We might be able to see some benefits, but we might not be able to rationalize this. But we still do it. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to. We're the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do as He say, and we are basically submitting ourselves to fulfilling the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is true slavery, and that is what Islam is based upon. And so let us utilize this month, inshaAllah, to try to build this attitude of slavery. When we build this, inshaAllah, the Prophet ﷺ was the epitome of this. He prided himself on being the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the most glorious day of the prophethood, on the most glorious day from the life of the Prophet ﷺ, which was the day of the conquest of Makkah, Fath Makkah. On that day, now today, the Prophet ﷺ is the victor over the people who have basically tortured him, oppressed him and his followers, and opposed them for 20 years. The Prophet ﷺ has the upper hand today. And the army of the Muslims is entering into Makkah. The Prophet ﷺ enters into Makkah at the back of the army with his head bowed down so low, the Sahaba say it would seem like his head was bouncing off the back of the camel that he was riding upon. And he had his head so low, and he was reciting and he was praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying that, oh Allah, no one is worthy of worship but Allah. La ilaha illallah wahda, sadaqa wa'ada. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled his promise. Wa nasara abda, and he helped his slave. He didn't call himself messenger or prophet or nabi, rasul. He said abd, slave. He called himself the slave of Allah. And that is the dignity and that is the respect of a human being, is to be the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the reality of this, and may He grant us the ability to practice everything that's been said and heard. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallah wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.